So it's Good Friday. Of course, we call it Good Friday because we know it's going to be good. But Good Friday wasn't really all that good when you look at it in Scripture and just in the moment of Friday by itself. Matthew 27, verse 44, it says, "The thieves also were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the lands unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, he cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of them stood there and heard that he said what he said. And they said, 'This man calls for Elijah.' And straight away one of them ran with a sponge filled with vinegar and put it on his reed and gave it to him to drink. And the rest said, 'Let us see whether Elijah comes to save him.' And Jesus had cried again with a loud voice." And the Bible says he yielded up the ghost. In other words, he gave up his spirit. "And behold, the veil and the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." In other words, it was torn in two. And the Bible says here, it was torn, and it says, "And there was a great earth that did quake, and the rocks were torn in pieces, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who slept arose. And he came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many." Do you know the Bible tells us here the account of Jesus' death? In that moment, he cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This was a dark hour. Could you imagine Jesus' mother there at the cross, looking at this moment, seeing her son crucified, and in that moment, gave up his spirit. Gave up, if you like, he yielded his spirit to God. It was never a darker moment for the disciples, let alone Mary, the mother of God. As they stood and saw the one that they loved and they served and left their life and left their business for 3.5 years, travel with Jesus. Money was actually flowing through the life and the ministry of Jesus. People were being healed. The dead were being raised. Blind eyes were opening. Deaf ears were opening. People's lives were being turned around. Everybody thought, this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. This is God sending his Son. Those who believed could not believe that now Jesus was dead. And the Bible says in John chapter 2, Jesus speaking about his death and trying to prepare people for the reality that what was going to take place. In John chapter 12, Jesus replied, speaking about his crucifixion, speaking about his life, his death and his burial. And he says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. For truly I say to you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will remain only a single seed." Can you imagine these poor people not understanding what Jesus was saying? Unless a seed of kernel falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves me will lose it. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. And anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. For where I am, my servant will be also. My Father will also honor the one who serves me." Everybody is going to have a Friday. Anybody can relate to a Friday where you felt like your dream died. Anybody here can relate to a Friday in terms of this moment where maybe your dream died. Maybe your marriage ended up in divorce and that dream of that marriage and that family died in that moment. Or maybe for you, it was in your business and there was bankruptcy. And now you feel like what you thought that you were going to do is now dead in your business. Maybe your children are walking away from what you thought would be the best decisions of their life. And now they're bound up with addictions and your dream for your children are now dying before your very eyes. Maybe for you it was a loss of a job, or maybe it was cancer or some sickness or some illness and you were given a death sentence. Every Everybody is going to have a Friday. Everybody is going to experience some loss of dream and hope and future. But I want to give you some lessons from the grave. Things that we can learn about in this story as we read about Jesus when the Bible says he was crucified. The first thing it says in verse 44, the thieves also were crucified with him and cast the same in his teeth. In other words, look at Luke chapter 23. As we read this story, as these thieves are talking to Jesus, in his moment of death, in his moment of surrendering, in his moment of yielding his spirit, trusting that God would take care of him. Look what the Bible says in Luke 23. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. How many know if you're going through a death experience, the last thing you need is somebody hurling insults at you. And the Bible says, hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? Since we are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting our deeds and what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Here's the first lesson from the grave. Listen to it very carefully. Number one, there will always be people who will kick you when you're down. There will always be people who want to come along in your worst moment and make it harder. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In that, maybe in that moment of the dream for your marriage, and maybe, the mother-in-law that, says, I always knew that you were never going to stay married, or, somebody's going to make it worse than it already needs to be. I remember I had the year from hell. It was probably about 25 years ago. And everything that could go wrong in 1 year did go wrong. We were robbed, and people stole things from our house and from my car, and my, all sorts of challenges and damages took place. And I remember some well-meaning Christians came along and said, it must be that you've got sin in your life. And I'm thinking, thank you very much. I mean, I was a pastor traveling, preaching the word of God. It's amazing how there'll always be some people who want to kick you when you're down. There'll always be some people. Hear Jesus at his moment of death and his moment of crucifixion. There's someone hurling insults. Can I tell you? It's a lesson of death. There'll always be key people who want to kick you when you're down. Here's the second lesson. Look what it says in verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Here's the second lesson from the grave. Listen to it carefully. As we look in hindsight of the life of Jesus, in that moment, people hurled insults at him, not just the thief on the cross, but others that said, hey, listen, you saved others. Why don't you save yourself? There'll always be people who will kick you and you down. It's a lesson from the grave. Don't let the naysayers get to you. Don't let the people, your critics, get the better of you. Come on, you be bigger, you be better. There is Jesus on the cross. There he is on the cross. And they said, if you are the Son of God, come down here. He was in an exalted position. He was raised above earth. And they said, if you are the Son of God, come down here to our level and we believe. Can I tell you, don't come down to the level of people. Don't let them pull you down. Come on, there'll be life. There'll be resurrection. But here's the second thought. Not only will there always be people who want to kick you when you're down, but the Bible says here there was darkness over the earth from the sixth hour till the ninth hour. Here's a lesson from the grave. Listen to it carefully. Darkness is not forever. It was from the sixth hour. Yeah, if you're going to clap, come on, do it properly. It was from the sixth hour till the ninth hour. Can I tell you something? We're walking through some valleys in the shadow of death, but we will fear no evil, for you, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It may be dark. It may be Friday. It may be the grave, but can I tell you, it will not be forever. You're going to recover. You're going to know the goodness of God. Look at the third thing. I love this one. In verse 46, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? He says, that is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here's some lessons from the grave. Here is Jesus. There will be times when it even feels like God has forsaken you. It's a lesson from the grave. It's a lesson from Jesus that even Jesus himself in that moment felt separated from God. Who's ever felt like not only did you have people who were knocking you when you're down? Who's ever felt like you've had darkness for way too many hours, but even in this moment where you felt like, God, where did you go? Am I talking to anybody here tonight? God, where are you? When something unexpected happened, God, how can you let this happen? God, where did you? Can I tell you something? We got to learn some lessons from the grave. And in that moment, we understand, why is it that Jesus felt separated from his Father? What was that moment about? Can I tell you what that was about was this. The Bible says that though he was rich, he became poor. The Bible says that, listen to this carefully now. The Bible says that we through his poverty might become rich. What was that moment of separation? Well, how many know that God is a holy God? How many know that no man can see the face of God and live? How many know that God is righteous? How many know that God is light? And the Bible says, where there is light, there is no darkness. They do not commingle. They do not coexist. And in that moment when Jesus was crucified on the cross, every sin, every sickness of every mankind, of every man and every woman and every person was thrust on the life and the body of Jesus. Though he was rich, he became poor. Some people are trying to make that an economic thing, but it's not an economic thing. It's a spiritual state. Jesus was light. Jesus was holy. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was the Son of God. And in that moment, Jesus willingly laid down his life for you and me, and every sin and every sickness that has ever been committed or will ever be committed was put on the body of Jesus. And in that moment, God, as a holy God, could not look on his Son because he cannot behold darkness. He cannot behold sin. And in that moment, God the Father turned his back on his Son. But can I tell you, because God turned his back on his Son, he will never turn his back on you. The death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus. Come on, it may be dark for a moment, but it's going to get brighter. You may feel like God's left you, but because of what he did on the cross, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will never do it. He is faithful to what Jesus did on the cross. He'll never turn his back on you in your grave moments. Come on. He'll never, 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 never turn his back on you for what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. You can be seated. Listen to this. It may seem like God has left you, but let me tell you, because of the work of what Jesus did, God will never turn his back on you. Here's the next one, verse 48. Straight away, one of them ran, took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, in other words, a cloth, to reach up to Jesus at the cross. And the Bible says here, it was full of vinegar and gave it to him to a drink. Can I tell you something? There will always be people who want to add vinegar to your pain. There'll always be people who will try to make it even worse than it already is. There will always be people, if it happened to Jesus, a lesson from the grave, if that happened to Jesus, can I tell you, there will always be people who will try and make it darker than it already is, make it worse than it already is. Can I tell you something? That's a reality of a lesson from the grave. Come on, someone say amen. Look at verse 50 to verse 53. And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil in the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. From the earth did quake and the rocks were torn in pieces and the graves were open and many bodies of the saints who slept arose. Can I tell you, this is the next thought, a lesson from the grave. Just when it seems it couldn't get any worse, it does. I mean, Jesus died. There is Mary beholding his son who gave up his spirit just when it couldn't seem to get any worse. There's an earthquake. I mean, we read this story about the veil and the temple torn in two, and we kind of think, what's that about? Just when it couldn't seem to get any worse. That veil in the temple was that of the Old Testament, was beginning in Adam, where the Bible talks about when he brought in the whole idea of the temple and sacrifice and approaching God. Adam had relationship with God, could behold God face to face. But because of Adam's sin, man was separated from God. And for that moment, till this moment of Jesus' death, there was a veil in the temple throughout all the Old Testament. And people were not allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. And if a priest would go in but once a year asking forgiveness of sins and the sacrifice of animals, then the Bible talks about if a priest went in and he wasn't right with God, that God would kill him. And that they would tie a rope to his leg so if he died, they could pull his body out so they could give him a proper burial. I mean, after all, who's going to go in and get the body? And the Bible says here that the veil of the temple was torn in two. Nobody tore it. There was nobody there with a sword. But God in heaven, at the moment that Jesus laid down his life, says, that's it. Because of what Jesus did, no longer shall men have to come once a year. No longer shall people come crawling. But can I tell you, he broke open the veil. But could you imagine how people freaked out? Oh God, we're all gonna die. The veil in the temple has been torn from top to bottom. We read it today and don't really understand what it means, but in that day they freaked out. The saddest verse in all the Bible, the Bible talks about that after Jesus' death and even after his resurrection, you know what the Bible says? They tore it back up again. That's what man tries to do. Man tries to sew the veil and to separate man once again from God. But can I tell you, just when it seems like it couldn't get any worse, it does. And for these people, that veil in the temple was torn in two. It freaked them out. The Bible says there was earthquakes, rocks split, graves opened, dead people. I mean, we read about, you know, we see movies today like zombies and walking dead men, but this is right back 2,000 years ago. There were people that came out of the grave when Jesus died. I mean, they just buried Uncle Bob and there's Uncle Bob walking down the street. You want to talk about just when you think it couldn't get any worse? Can I tell you, lessons from the grave? But I got to tell you, it's Friday. But Sunday is a coming. I don't know what your Friday is. I don't know what your challenge is. But the Bible says there is no weakness, no temptation that is not common to man that Jesus has already not gone through. Can I tell you something? When you know Jesus, he brings life into your death. He brings meaning into your suffering. He brings victory into your pain. If you would just know that what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago has the power to change you. It's not about church. I love the church, trust me. I love everything that the church represents. I love her warts and all. People keep saying church is full of hypocrites. I go, uh-huh, and there's room for you. Come on, someone say amen. Just when it seems like it couldn't get any worse, it will get worse. But can I tell you something? I want to talk to you just for the closing minutes of this message about lessons not just from the grave, because it's Friday. And there's some great lessons from the grave. Someone who would love to kick you when you're down. Someone who would love to add insults. Someone who would love to try and pull you down to their size. People who are just, you know, darkness that seems it's dark. But can I tell you something? Darkness doesn't last forever. I've discovered something about discouragement. It's a passing phase. I keep telling the church all the time, if you're going to have a problem, at least have a new one every few months. At least be going somewhere with your problems. Don't have the same boring, snoring problem week after week, month after month, year after year. At least be progressing somewhere with your challenges. Come on. What are some lessons of the resurrection of the life of Jesus? Listen to what he says. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. This is speaking, Jesus speaking prior to his death. For verily I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat, Jesus is speaking about himself, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will remain only a single seed. Everybody understood that. Everybody understood what Jesus is talking about. You put a seed in the ground and you bury it. Everybody knew what he was talking about. In an agricultural environment and culture that Jesus lived in, they all understood that. Yeah, you put a seed in the ground and it dies. But if you take the single seed and you place it in the ground and you bury it, Jesus was speaking about himself being placed in the earth, being buried. He goes, unless you put a single seed in the ground, unless it dies and you bury it, it remains in and of itself a single seed. But listen to this. He goes, unless that happens and a wheat falls and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces. It produces. If it's by itself, it's a single seed. But everybody understood what Jesus is talking about, because out of that one seed comes a whole tree. Out of that one seed comes a whole harvest. Out of that one seed comes a whole crop of wheat out of one seed. And Jesus says, out of me, one seed. If I will lay down my life, I will bring life to many. I love this. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Can I tell you, look at me now. You're part of the many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it. And anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. Wherever I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. I want to talk to you just for a minute as I close this service. Singers, musicians, come on back. About lessons, not just from the grave. There's not a person here that doesn't identify with that moment of darkness. There's not a person here that wouldn't identify with somebody who's willing to kick you when you're down. There's not a person here that wouldn't identify with the thought just when things get, you know, as bad as they can even get worse. Come on, someone say amen. But let me talk to you about lessons of resurrection. Number one, Jesus teaches us to trust that God can bring dead things back to life. You see, the Bible says that Jesus actually gave up his spirit. It wasn't taken from him. He gave it up. And he said, Father, into my hands I commit, into your hands rather, I commit my spirit. Can I tell you? The first lesson from resurrection is that God can bring dead things back to life again. God can bring you a future and a hope. He can give you a greater purpose. He can resurrect that marriage. He can resurrect that dream. He can resurrect that business. He can resurrect why, you know, your sense of loneliness and hope and despair. Can I tell you? He'll bring it back to life again. The second lesson is, listen to this. I want you to hear this one very carefully. Look what the Bible says. I love this. Give me, check this out. Psalm 37, verse 23 and verse 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he shall fall, there's not a person in this room who hasn't experienced some moment in time in your life when you fell over. You might look at yourself and say, I'm a good man. But something, you fell over. You fell over in business. You fell over in a relationship. You fell over in your dream. You fell over in somewhere. You fall over. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I've come to tell somebody tonight, listen to this. Here's the second lesson from the resurrection. Is you're either up or you're getting up. Come on. You're either up or you're getting up. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he shall fall, you will get knocked down, but you will get back up again. It's the resurrection power of God. If Jesus would lay down his life in the grave and God resurrected him, the same spirit that rose Jesus the dead shall raise you. Come on, you're either up or you're getting up. You're either up or you're getting up. You're either up or you're getting up. Come on, you get knocked down, you get back up again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You're getting up from your depression. You're getting up from your sickness. You're getting up from a marriage that broke up. You're getting up from bankruptcy. Come on, the lesson of resurrection, the steps of a good man, God has got your back. Come on, somebody give God praise. You can be seated. Look at this one. I got 16 seconds. Let me give you this verse. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8 and 9. Oh, this is the most powerful one of them all. Are you ready for this? Can you handle this? Now, the rulers of this age, now, of the rulers of this age, if they understood it, it says, if they understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. The Bible says that if the rulers of this world that crucified Jesus knew that that crucifixion, that death would trigger the resurrection power of Jesus, that presented himself before Satan himself and took the keys of hell and of death and opened a way for people to have a relationship with God, direct access, they would never have done it. Can I tell you, here's a lesson from the resurrection. God will even use your enemies to promote you. What you are looking like in the natural, when you feel like all hell is against you and people are against you and there's a plot and there's a plan and life is not going well and everywhere you turn, you feel like you're being beaten and cast down. Can I tell you, even that God will use your enemies to promote you. It's a lesson from the resurrection life and ministry of Jesus. David said, you prepare a table before me in the presence, not in the absence, but in the presence of my enemies. The best meals are on the front line of the battle. God, what you look like in the natural, it's all over. And what seems like in the natural, there's too much forces against you. There's too many overwhelming circumstances. Can I tell you? God will even use your enemies to raise you above. The Bible says that God therefore exalted Jesus with a name above. If they knew what they were doing, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. Listen to this, last thought. No matter how bad it gets, trust him to work good. No matter how bad it gets, trust him to work good. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28, and God works good in all things. God works good. We know that all things work together for good. For those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Can I tell you something tonight? All things. That means there's not one thing that's happening in your life that God himself is not working good in. All things. That means everything. That means whatever it is, that addiction that's got you bound, God will work good in it. My father was an alcoholic, and when he gave his life to Jesus, he said to me, son, I'm going to take now the stick that the devil used to beat me and almost destroy my family, that which the enemy used to destroy my life. I'm going to take the same stick and I'm going to beat the fool out of the devil, and I will devote the rest of my life to helping people get set free of their addictions. My dad died. The night he died brought many people to Jesus. All things gotta work good in all things. I don't know how you came to be here tonight, but this Easter weekend, we want to tell you, you're welcome at Wave Church. We want to tell you this, that the veil on the temple has been torn in two. Can I just encourage you? Don't sew it back up again till next Easter. Don't sew it back up again. Come on, there's some lessons that you can learn. Don't sew it back up again till the next crisis. Don't sew it back up again and keep God out of your depression. Don't sew it back up again and keep God out of your loneliness. Don't sew it back up again and keep God out of your addiction. Come on. He can bring life and meaning and purpose into your life. Come on, can anybody shout amen? Can anybody shout amen? For those who are watching online, can I tell you something? Maybe there's somebody watching online tonight, even as I'm speaking, you're putting a needle in your arms, trying to get a fix from your pain. Somebody watching tonight, you're sitting in a hotel room and you're pouring yourself another drink to ease the pain. Can I tell you something? Don't sew the veil that God tore up again. Look at me. He loves you. He loves you. And you can be free from your addiction. You can be free from the loneliness. You can be free from your depression. You can be free because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, somebody shout me down right now.